This hour of Overdrive is brought to you by 99 Stories of the Game. This number one bestseller doesn't just tell the history of the NHL's greatest years, it relives them. Take home Wayne Gretzky's 99 Stories of the Game, now in paperback.
It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1-in-100.
Is this a... what day is this?
You've been lost all afternoon.
I'm so rattled by it.
Yeah, you mailed this one in.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
That was a great call-in segment we did last segment. We've got to do that every week, every Friday. No callers.
That could have been probably the worst segment we've done in a while.
Honestly, that was awful.
It was amateur hour.
It was terrible.
Like at one point, you looked at me and I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about.
This isn't radio. This isn't real life. We're not mature.
Who's terrible? It started out, some guy gassed us and didn't call in. So I said, hit the phones. Apparently, we work at Bell Media. We don't have phones that work.
Well, what can happen, not that people necessarily care, but we did a giveaway in the previous hour, and when too many people call all at the same time...
7 million people try to call in to get a hat?
There's a lot... was that what we were giving away?
I don't know. What is the giveaway?
McDonald's.
You give away a McDonald's gift card.
$150. Yeah.
So four people called in for that.
No, there's so many people that were calling in, and it led to some sort of a malfunction. It doesn't matter. We'll see if we can return to the phone lines at 620. We're going to take a call this hour. A guy by the name of Nick.
Yes.
We're going to take his call because Nick Nurse is calling in just a moment.
He's a beauty.
But we'll try to get to some calls later, okay? I also think it says something about the topic. You wanted to get people's opinion on William Nylander. Maybe they're telling us.
Like, knock it off.
Hey, that's enough.
There's nothing to talk about with this guy.
You know, like
but it's... people are... everyone has a take, but they also have a hypothetical. Like, I've been... I don't know how many times I've been sent... like potential trade partners, and I don't want to have the heart to write back to the people like, nobody's going to make that trade. Like, it's like, yeah, trade Nylander to, you know, Edmonton, we can use him. Just throw in McDavid and Draisaitl.
Nobody
like,
said that. Come on.
I've had some ridiculous ones where you're like, why would they do that? Like, why would the other team do that? Like, you overvalue what William Nylander. William Nylander's a good player, but you're not getting an elite player back. Like, you're getting... like you said, Brian, that's what would be the biggest concern is if you're trading a high, you know, a potentially high offense guy, 60-point guy minimum, maybe more, and you're going for a defenseman, it's not going to look good on paper unless it's a really high-octane defenseman. If it's another forward, then it's a scenario where you've got to at least get
apples for apples.
Apples for apples, exactly.
But that's difficult to see, and I don't think a trade's going to happen between now and tomorrow at 5
no.
p.m., there was a trade last night on the court. Kevin Durant traded his jersey in with Drake. They had made some sort of a bet before the game.
Yeah.
I guess Drake was going to give him his jacket if the Warriors won and if the Raptors won.
Right.
Durant had to hook up his jersey. I would have been making a deal with Nick Nurse.
He had the
that
best.
Jacket he had on last night. That if
stole
I was
the show.
Stole the show.
Absolutely
best.
Stole the show. That was absolutely textbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's the head coach of the Raptors, Nick Nurse. What are you doing with that jacket, Nick?
I had to take it back. I had to take it back right after the game. The rental time was up.
You rented that jacket?
No. I'm just kidding.
Are you going to wear it again?
I'm not doing anything with it. I didn't. I don't know. They were asking us to participate in the Sager night, and I agreed to do it. And just kind of, you know, we're busy. Threw that together real quick.
No, man, you put time into that. That looked great. That was tailored and everything, right?
Are you going to fire that up again or no?
I don't know what to do with it now. Your guy Joe that put me through here asked me if I'd come into the studio the next time I wear it. So I said I would, so we'll do that.
Well,
that's the next plan.
Awesome.
Are you a superstitious coach? Like, you're not thinking, like, okay, I got to wear it next time we play Golden State?
No, I'm not really. Not really like that. We'll see.
Did you learn any magic tricks wearing that outfit?
No, I didn't. It was kind of hot. That's my only complaint. It was a little warm.
I'm getting the impression like it was warm in the building. Always down there, and he said the energy was just exceptional. And I know, you know, a lot of your guys, yourself included, trying to downplay it. It's only a regular season game in November, but the energy, it felt like it was a bit of a different vibe. Did you pick up on that last night?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, you know, they're just two-time defending champs. You only get them once a year. right? So there's some specialness to it, no doubt about it. And I thought our guys, maybe Kawhi in particular, had a little extra juice flowing through last night. He was elevating a little bit more, and you know, looked a little like the rust is gone. You know, that I kept thinking he was getting to good places, and some of those shots that he was taking were short here early in the year, but last night he got to some places and was pretty impressive, and just again, just a little bit more pep in his step and a little bit more electricity in the air, and it was a good one. It was a good game, obviously, to get the win, but it was a good learning experience for us as well.
What would you learn out of that game? What can you use to your benefit down the road?
Well, I gotta pick up the pace here a little bit myself as far as getting some more defensive schemes in and having a few more options to go to as far as coverages. I've kept it pretty simple from one standpoint because I'm trying to get a philosophy or a foundation built in of what we're capable of doing without really using much schemes. You know, just a mentality of digging down and playing hard and kind of in your face defense. And that's what we're working on. And there's a lot of things to that, you know, pressuring the ball, helping each other, contesting shots. Obviously you guys saw the game. We got a lot of work to do on our defensive rebounding. We're making guys, our teams miss a lot, and we're just not quite finishing those possessions out enough. I mean, I think if we would have rebounded the ball last night, it wouldn't have been nearly as close because our initial phase of our defense was pretty good. But those kind of things along those lines where we gotta start using some more schemes, et cetera, so when we need them against these guys, we can have them down.
With Nick Nurse, head coach of the Raps, with that said, as a head coach, you watch a guy like Kevin Durant steps over the half-court line, takes about two steps, and just jacks up a three, nothing but net. And then tying the game late in the fourth, kind of like a Reggie Miller. He was inside the arc, and then he kind of ran towards the three-point line. Kawhi was all over him, hit a bit of a fadeaway three to put the game into overtime. Do you feel hopeless? I mean, what can you do to defend a guy like that?
Well, the biggest thing is you can't get too discouraged. You know, they interviewed me on TNT in the States at the end of the third quarter, and they're like, what are you going to do with Durant? And I was like, you know, we're playing him hard and we're forcing him inside the three-point line. This was at the end of three quarters, and I was okay with that, right? I was like, that's what we're trying to do is take away his three balls, and then he ends the quarter with that long bomb. And they're going to do that, you know? It's kind of one of the things we talked about. They're going to come down and make a 30-footer, and then the next guy's going to make, they're going to make another 30-footer, and you can't really react to it. You just got to keep playing. And it was an incredible shot he made to send it into overtime. It really was. You know, how tight the space is over there between the three-point line and the out-of-bounds and kind of heading that direction and to get your feet right and turn around. And it helps when you're 6'11 and release the ball, you know, way above your head the way he does. It almost makes him indefensible, and he hit it right in the middle. But I was okay. You know, I kind of told the team at the end of the regulation, I said, man, this is good for us. We get five more minutes here. This is a heck of a game. You're playing great. We get five more minutes of playing. Let's go do it. So it was a good job by our guys to respond in the overtime.
With Nick Nurse of the Raps, the Raps taking on Cleveland tomorrow night, coming off a big win in overtime last night against Golden State. The Raptors are now 19-4 on the season, first overall in the NBA. And everyone's just raving about you guys. Everyone's praising you as the deepest team in the East, best team in the East. Golden State rolled into town, and they said you guys are playing better than anybody in the league. And I don't really think that's disputable based on your record, but are you comfortable with that kind of praise or what?
Well, I don't think it really matters all that much. I mean, I think we had a lot of, you know, preseason hype, you know, especially with the trade, but there was some, you know, there was some doubt. How was Kawhi? Was he going to be healthy? How would he fit in? What about Danny? You know, how were we going to maneuver things around? How have the young guys come along? So we've seen some of all that, and Kawhi's fit in great. Obviously, he's a great player. You know, Danny's been an unbelievably key addition as well. And then the biggest thing that I think is our young guys keep coming, and I think there's still more growth for those guys too. But I think we expected to be in this, you know, kind of conversations, And there's preseason, you know, pressure. There's pressure now that we keep playing well. Where we are is where we are, man. People expect us to be in the hunt in the East and perform in the playoffs, and we accept it. We got to work, you know, every day to get better. And my thing is I think there's a lot of growth in this team yet, and that's really all I care about. I mean, the 19-4 is nice, but it doesn't really matter too much to me.
Well, one of those young guys getting a ton of attention, especially after last night, deservedly so, is Pascal Siakam. And from the field, he was almost perfect. He goes 8-for-10 from the field, 3-for-4 from three, 7-for-8 from the line. But, you know, that three-point shot, if a guy that size, that kind of athleticism, starts hitting shots like that, how does that affect the rhythm of the offense and the opportunities it allows you to put forth?
Well, the biggest thing is it makes him a complete player, and that's what we're aiming for with not only him, with most of our young guys, that they can handle, they can pass, and they can make the open three, and obviously play the other end, you know, with great energy and focus as well defensively. It prevents teams from game planning against him a little bit and clogging up the lane, and you know, that's what they're trying to do. And I've kind of hoped he was going to start making some because his mechanics are great. He's put in over the last 2 years, he's put in a ton of time. I always kind of knew in the back of my head that he was better than the numbers were showing or what the results were producing at this point. And, you know, just hope he keeps improving with that because I think the mechanics and the work are there.
Your bench was such a huge part of the conversation last year, and your depth remains a part of the overall conversation. But last night, they did not have a great night. And, you know, some of the bench players have been hot and cold this year, to put it lightly. How are you approaching that in terms of, you know, you obviously want to get your big boys rolling, and they appear to be, but depth is such a huge benefit for you guys. Are you concerned at all about the way the bench is playing? How are you dealing with that right now?
Well, I think, you know, I got to shoulder some of the responsibility of that. I think I've messed around with the lineups like crazy, right? Different starting lineups. And when you do that, that turns the second unit into a different group. We had a lot of injuries, right? We had a stretch there where we were missing four guys off that second unit for about four or five games. So there's some little things that I think will go away. I think they'll get healthier. I think their number shooting will go back to kind of the norm. You know, some of those guys are good shooters and aren't making shots, but they will. That'll level itself out. Not unlike a major league guy that starts off slowly and, you know, gets back to his average as the season goes on. So I think there's some cause for concern. I got to keep trying to find the right group, build a little bit more confidence. I got to get them to move the ball a little more and let the offense score for them rather than their individual play. And most importantly, I want them to knuckle down and start playing some consistent, tough defense so they can create some offense from their defense.
Raptors in Cleveland tomorrow night. We're looking forward to that. Congrats on a great win last night and a great start to the season. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Nick.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
There's Nick Nurse, head coach of the 19-4, first overall Toronto Raptors.
There's obviously a lot of talk about Kawhi coming here, superstar player in the league. That Danny Green, like,
he's a good
player. I don't
know
what a coach's dream is, but he just seems like he just does it right. He gets it done. He's clutch. He's good. Doesn't seem like he's a pain in the ass. He just seems like he's...
I think he gets it.
Yeah. He gets it.
He seems like a glue guy, too.
That's exactly what he is. Like, he spent a long time in San Antonio. He first 8 or 9 years of his career, won rings, NBA finals, learned from guys like Duncan and Parker and Pop.
I just like him.
He can shoot a three. He can guard the perimeter. And, you know, he's not a guy. He's not a go-to guy, but he can hit a big shot if he has to.
Seems like just a true pro.
Yeah, exactly.
I like him.
You know, the term gets it.
Yeah.
I think it's applicable here. And he's a free agent at the end of the year, too. They're both free agents.
Yeah. He's making 10 sheets, I believe, too.
Yeah, he's in a good spot. He's got his podcast out. He was in studio with us over the summer, I think, or maybe in September. It was great, man. It was great to have him in studio. Love to catch up with him again soon. But the discrepancy between the starting lineup and the bench, pretty significant right now. But, you know, it's November. They're 19-4. You're nitpicking.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to be concerned about how OG Anunoby is shooting the three right now, you know, give them some time. I think it's going to work out.
Exactly.
But I appreciate that, too. I'm sure the bench would like to hear that from the head coach, too. He said, hey, listen, I got to take some of that responsibility as well. I've been messing around with the rotations, and
right.
I got to put them in better positions. And, you know, he said even though they won last night, they can take something out of it. They can learn from it.
For sure.
You know, the pace of that game was crazy. Crazy. Like, TSN got a great shot during a late timeout. I think it was late in the fourth, maybe in overtime, but I think it was in the fourth. And they're right in the huddle. And Nurse is like, guys, these guys are coming down 2-3 seconds, and they're getting shots off. Like, we got to slow them down. There was no half-court play. Not like, it was just break, shot.
Yeah, I was fist-pumping and then being like, oh, God, fist-pumping, oh, God.
Crazy.
Did you stand up the whole time? Or I'd sit, although it seems like everyone's on their feet.
You kind of have to stand. Late in the game, you have to stand. You're not going to stand for four quarters, but overtime... I think overtime is acceptable for you to stand the whole 5 minutes.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the same thing in hockey.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see that become a tradition.
Dude, by the way, you go south of the border, those rules are, they will stand start of the match, whatever sport, and stand the whole time.
Yeah, that's a little much. My legs get tired.
Yeah. My dad, I got him tickets to the Stanley Cup final. He's like, great to see you in the finals, but had to stand the whole game. Not a fan.
No. No kidding. Someone texting in about this Kareem Hunt video that's out there, courtesy of TMZ, and it's all over the place. So, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, back in February of this year, he got into an altercation, a physical altercation, with multiple people, but it was with a woman, you know. And
yeah.
The video, I've seen the video. He pushes her. He kicks her. I don't want to say lightly because I don't know what. It's difficult to describe the video.
Kicks her.
Right.
Yeah, he does. He does. And he wasn't arrested. The cops were called. He was not arrested. TMC's breaking this, so you know everyone, Schefter and everybody else is all over it, trying to get an answer from the NFL. Did you know about it?
Right.
Have you? And my understanding is I believe they did, and I'm pretty sure the owner or the CEO or president of the Chiefs commented on it back in the day and said he wasn't going to be suspended, which he hasn't been. But if we learned anything from the Ray Rice scenario, and it's not the exact same infraction,
right?
But once the video came out, the levy broke, and then he hasn't played a game since. He was suspended indefinitely, and he's never going to play again. He's done. Kareem Hunt is very different. This is his second year in the league, and I don't know what the suspension is going to be. It's impossible to know how the NFL is going to react. Now that the video's out, I would assume they will react differently than they did originally, and this puts heat back on Roger Goodell.
No,
did you not learn anything
with this?
Right.
Did you seek out the video in February? Because that was the problem that a lot of people took with the Ray Rice scenario.
Yeah.
That Goodell did not work hard enough to get the evidence to levy the suspension that was appropriate.
And if there's not, like, you got to get all the story out there, because I even had read the TMZ story, like there was some racial slurs being thrown around and stuff.
Because it's a white woman.
Yeah, there's some stuff being thrown around.
Like, okay.
Not
defending
a situation. I'm just saying, like, I think there's a lot of context to it. It never is acceptable, but I that's where I think the breakdown is. Sometimes you see it, and it is 100% unacceptable, but sounds like it went from a room down to the lobby, and that's the lobby cameras that pick it up.
Is that right?
I was watching the videos the whole time, and I thought it was, who did the Redskins just pick up?
Reuben Foster.
Yeah, I thought that's what that video was, but it's not.
Well, and that's the thing about where the NFL's at right now. Like, that Reuben Foster situation is obviously toxic. I thought he was too toxic. He just got arrested for domestic assault like a week ago.
Yeah.
Not even a week
and
ago.
Picked up on waivers by the Redskins.
The Niners placed him on waivers because they're like, we obviously can't have this guy around. They had given him a lot of opportunities, too. Like, this guy's had multiple transgressions. He's had a lot of problems in the past with domestic abuse and domestic assault allegations and arrests.
But what makes Kareem Hunt's situation any different? Because he's younger, he's a star in the league. It's like, you can't treat, just because of your status as far as the player goes, you can't treat anybody any different.
No, but what the Redskins proved is that they will do that. Like, talent is going to supersede this guy's issues because the Redskins, they've been taking so much heat. Their explanation for why they picked him up was just
ridiculous.
Outrageous. Doug Williams came out and tried to downplay it and said, hey, with everything else that's going on in the world, this isn't that big of a deal, basically suggesting, well, other people do bad stuff.
Right.
That was his...
That's not the comment.
Oh, it was a horrible explanation.
Like,
it was a PR disaster.
Yeah.
And it just was it was an unacceptable explanation. But Reuben Foster has still been claimed. You know, he still has a team. Now, he's suspended indefinitely. I don't know if he's ever going to play for Washington, but, you know, the league... You knew this stuff wasn't going to stop. You know, there's too many players. These guys are human. Stuff takes place in every single league.
Exactly.
But how the league reacts to it can be adjusted over time. And I'm not convinced the NFL has done enough to implement any sort of system or rules and regulations for how they're supposed to handle these
scenarios. It is. You're right. And it's tough because every situation is so unique. So it's... Like, you know, the Ray Rice, like, that was awful.
That was shocking. He cold-cocked his
horrifying.
Wife, and she was unconscious on the ground.
It's horrifying.
It was disgusting.
But like I say, you judge that one, and then something else happens, and you're almost tying them together, but everyone's going to be different.
Absolutely.
That's why it has to be treated like separate cases.
Of course. Right? Like, there's different levels of assault. Like, you know, like the criminal system would tell you that.
Right.
Murder is not the equivalent of jaywalking, but these are in the same general bubble, so to speak. But yes, I'm not going to compare what Kareem Hunt did to Ray Rice because it's not the same.
No.
But to your point, what provoked it?
Well, there's just
how it happened, why the cops didn't arrest him, I don't know.
There's so many layers to this that's why I always, sitting back in context, try and read through as much as possible. And then even what's out there in the public is probably only 10% of really what happened.
Absolutely.
And that's the unfortunate part.
It says something about the history of the NFL and how they've been handling the situation where Kareem Hunt is... 70% of the conversation, 60%, but the other 30 or 40 is Roger Goodell and him being in the exact same spotlight in a way that he does not want to be in.
Right.
Just like with the Ray Rice stuff. Why is this just coming out now? Did you see the video? If you did, why didn't you suspend him?
Right.
We're right back to the square one.
Yeah.
You know, Roger Goodell having to explain, or the NFL having to explain, whether or not they actually...
That
did their due diligence and found out every single detail they could have.
But think about, like, and I know he gets paid a lot of money, but think about he's laying in bed on a Sunday, or not a Sunday, Sunday night, actually. Probably guys go out after a Sunday night game and that, like, his phone rings.
Always off on Monday.
His phone rings at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's wondering, okay, what?
You're talking about Roger Goodell?
Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's probably a fire that has to be put out every day of his life in that league, in any league. Gary Bettman probably gets the same type of calls. Now, different context, but I'm sure that they'll get a middle-of-the-night phone call from security going, we got an issue.
We got a guy here who's on
New
the
Orleans.
Road.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That would of course it happens. We don't hear 99% of the stuff that happens.
Exactly.
But this one, not only do we hear about, we see it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and the Chiefs are on the clock, too. Andy Reid's going to have to explain it.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen
Kareem
it?
Kareem Hunt, how they're dealing with that. It's been a dream season. They're putting up offense. This guy's a star running back. How they handle this season is, or this situation.
It's going to say a lot about the organization.
Yeah, they better do it right because you know the backlash when Ray Rice had that incident and it wasn't paid attention to accordingly and they had to do it afterwards. It was a mess.
Yeah, and what you're right. It wasn't only Goodell. The Ravens had to explain themselves, too.
Yes.
Like, Baltimore, the owner had to come out. And it was
and
like,
then when people started freaking out, then they were like, oh, boy, we have to do something here. And then he was never heard from again.
Disappeared. And never played a game again. Now, I don't think Kareem Hunt's career is over. You know, again, Reuben Foster just got claimed.
Yeah.
But I would think, you know, with the outrage and you know what's coming, you know the reaction, and people are going to be digging and they're going to try to get an explanation. The NFL is going to have to answer for it, and it might lead to suspension.
You know the reaction. It's going to be, I never want to see him on a football field again.
From some people. Not everybody, but from some people. Absolutely, that'll be the reaction.
Yeah.
This is just coming out on TSN.ca and up on SportsCenter. Former NHLer Todd Ewan, after he passed away, was diagnosed with CTE earlier this year. And our own Rick Westhead has an exclusive one-on-one with his widow, who wants to tell his story. That exclusive interview is being released right now. Go to TSN.ca and check it out on SportsCenter for full coverage. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050.
We're going to take some calls after the break.
Mail-in and Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net, and your first entry is free. You can text us at any point, 105050. Steve texting in. Say, I just tuned into TSN 2. What's up with Mr. Rogers? That cardigan is brutal. Don't ever wear that again on TV.
It's Mr. Rogers. His name is Fred, right? Isn't it Fred Rogers?
I don't know. Does he have a first name?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers was... There was just a movie out about him. I think Tom Hanks played him.
Yeah, but I didn't think he had a first name. It was just Mr. Rogers.
Awesome sweater. Thank you. Look like you're really, really rich.
You look pompous, like I said before.
Yeah. Pomp. I look pomp.
I'm going to find out the guy's
name. I don't think Mr. Rogers had a first name. He just went by Mr. Rogers.
No, I'm quite certain that it's Fred.
Right? It's like Kermit the Frog.
No, it's Fred Rogers.
You've been kind of getting some new styles together. I've been noticing a couple new dress shirts.
Online ordering, man. It's a dangerous game. We talked about that earlier in the week.
Yesterday you had like a darker version of this sweater with the new shirt. It's kind of like a new movement for you.
That's right. I'm trying to improve myself.
Thurston Howell.
I was on Amazon again today. Every day I buy something.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
You know what we did today?
What?
We had to put our trees up. Trees. We have two trees in our house.
Let me guess. One's for your kid?
No. Actually, we have three. There's a mini one in her room. We have a mini one in her room. Then we've got the main one. Yeah. And then we have another one for some reason. We have three trees in
our house.
Are
they real or are they fake?
All of them are fake.
Yeah, I see. I like the fake one where you just take it out of the box, plug, put them together in three pieces, and plug it into the wall.
Exactly what it was. I almost threw my back out today. This thing is honestly like 120 pounds.
Yeah, we got a 9-footer, I think, and it's
but they're so disheveled. You get those out of the hockey bag, and
it looks like your hair is matted.
It's a mess.
I don't deal with that. I allow other people to work with it because I.
Are you talking about Fred Penner?
No, Fred Rogers. His name is Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers' first name was Fred.
I've never known him to have a first name.
It is. I'm looking at it. You've got his sweater on right now. It is.
Fred Penner was a legend.
That is you.
That is me. That's like looking in a mirror. Look at that sweater.
You need a tie.
Yeah, if you just had a blue shirt on. You do have a blue shirt on. If you had a tie on, you are Mr. Rogers.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
I love it.
All right. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050.
Here's a tie for your outfit. Put that on and...
And be Fred?
And just have the whole outfit together. Do it in commercial.
I'll do it in commercial.
It's kind of weird, too. He used to walk into the room and like...
Fred Rogers?
Yeah, beautiful day in the neighborhood. He was a little bit awkward.
Everyone's seen him, though. Everybody knows who he is.
Legend.
All right. Aaron in Mississauga. What's up, Aaron?
Oh, hey, boys. How's it going? Been on hold there for a while, so
you know, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, we got stuff to do. We got things
Yeah, we're
to
talking
do.
About Fred Rogers.
Yeah, you think I know, you have better takes than that? Come on here. Boys, we're talking about Willie Nylander. We have, 23 hours left to talk about him?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Give or take.
He ain't signing. Ain't happening. No way.
Why do you say that?
You're going to pay $7 million for William Nylander. You got Andreas Johnsson. I mean... Give out him and Kapanen the money. Don't waste it on William Nylander. You don't want to be locked into this guy for all these years when you're going to need Nylander or you need Kapanen and AJ.
Okay, let's not get carried away here.
Yeah, Johnsson is not William Nylander.
And neither is Kasperi Kapanen. You know,
not yet.
Well, I don't think ever. Listen, I like Kapanen a lot. I like Johnsson, too. I think they're both good players. Don't lose sight of how good of a player William Nylander is.
No, like, I know. You're
he's
right.
He's a
you're
really
right.
good player.
I know, you're right. It's just frustrating, I guess, waiting all this time and talking about him. I agree with O-Dog. I'm sick and tired of talking about him. But, hey, you know, it's like they got to figure something out here, though.
Well, you would assume. I mean, we've got, 23 and a half hours, 22 and a half hours, you know. But
something is going to get figured out, and it's going to come down within the next day. But to compare him to those two players, it's just...
No.
You said it best. Do not forget how talented of a player this is.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is you can have all three of them. You know, and this idea that he's definitely going to be locked in at seven and a half, we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's willing to take. We don't know what the Leafs are willing to pay.
Yeah.
And Johnsson and Kapanen are RFAs at the end of the year. And they'll have been in the league for 1 year. They're not getting monster deals.
No.
Like this idea that Kapanen's going to score 60 and demand what Nylander's demanding,
not
happening.
Not a chance.
You're not getting it. He's not getting offer sheeted. He's not getting it.
No.
You know, he'll get a bridge deal. He's not going to get a long-term deal, I don't think.
Yeah.
But... He's not getting some monster deal. It just doesn't work. Not everybody is entitled to crazy money because you have a good month and a half.
Exactly.
Thanks, Fred.
Way to work, Fred.
416-870-1050. Let's go to Nicole is up next.
Yes.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing pretty well. What do you make of this Nylander stuff?
Well, to be honest, I'm so fed up with hearing about it. I listen every day, and I'm glad that we're finally in the last 23 hours.
Yeah.
What are you expecting to happen?
I would be, like if Dubas could get some assets for him. I really don't care if he sits out for the rest of the year, but I want answers. I want to know what he's asking. I want to know what we're offering. Like, I want at 5 o'clock tomorrow, I want answers, I guess, for after waiting this long.
Well, I'm with you on that, but I wouldn't be holding your breath. I mean, they're not entitled.
They're going to say nothing, and it's going to be...
Yeah.
But what if...
I don't know. I agree with the last caller. I think Kapanen has showed himself. I think Johnson showed himself. But I think that we've done just fine with Marner and obviously with Matthews and Tavares.
No, and Kadri and Marlowe. Why not get more loaded, right? That's the beauty of it. The rich are going to get richer here. If William Nylander gets signed, regardless of what the number is, if he plays this year, they're just simply a better team. That's why Babcock is basically tearing up talking about it.
Yeah.
She turned her TV up. Did you hear that? I think she was recording her call, and then she went back and pressed play to hear her
I
comments.
I thought that was like her boyfriend in the background chiming in.
I think it
in.
Was...
That was her boyfriend. That was a good call.
That was a great call by Nicole.
Great. I thought it was her boyfriend going, you tell those guys this.
No, I don't think so.
And
no?
By the way, who's ever going to be... The numbers are going to come out. Who's ever pissed off the most if it doesn't get done? Well, we offered this, and it still couldn't get done, so what do you want us to do?
That's my whole thing, and she brought that up. At 5 o'clock tomorrow, if it doesn't happen and Kyle has to speak, he's not going to sit there and go, hey, we were at, you know, like.
Yeah. He's not going to give you, he doesn't have to give you anything.
He doesn't. And
I would, though. I'd be given the numbers. I'm like, look, we offered this guy this much, and he still said no. So what the hell did you want me to do?
Well, what if he says we offered him 6.25 a year? You know, people will come back and say, well, why didn't you give him 6.5?
Yeah.
6.7. Anything in the sixes, I think people are going to be able to reason with.
It'll be calculated because everyone has to look a certain way as far as whatever's happening.
It's going to be
leaked. Let's keep it rolling on the horn.
All right, 416-870-1050. A neighbor of Noodles.
Oh, really?
Fabio up in Kleinburg, Ontario.
Oh, love a Fabio.
Love Kleinburg. What's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Oh, we're doing all right, man. We're on Nylander watch. Yeah. We're stealing Gareth Wheeler's material. We're having a great time.
What are your thoughts, Fabio?
The question I have is what you guys would think if Lou Lamoriello was still in the picture in the main office. Would things be different today with this deal?
I definitely don't think Lou would be handing over the money, if that's what you're referring to.
Would it be settled, you think? Or would it be in the same position it's in right now?
I think it would be even more take it or leave it type situation. Like, do you want this? Because if you don't, we're going to trade you. I think, I don't know. I don't know how the approaches would be different, but I don't think Lou screws around, obviously, as we know.
I think there's more of a chance that Lou would have placed a deadline, and it wouldn't have been December 1st.
Right.
It would have been his own deadline.
I agree. I think it would have been a different type of negotiation. He may have still ended up here, but I think Kyle is carving out his own style as a manager, but it's not far off from what any other manager would be doing. We're not privy to the numbers. That's the problem. If we're if we knew exactly what the numbers were, we could all sit here over a beer and say, okay, where do you think it fits? As former players, we could say, where do you think this? Like, as fans, you can. I think the challenge right now is information, and the only people who have the information is the managers and the agents. So
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Well. Enjoy yourself up there in Kleinburg. Have you seen Noodles driving around yet, or what?
I'm not a menace up there.
No? Yeah, leave Noodles alone if you see him.
I will, for sure.
All right, thanks, man. There's Fabio up in your neck of the woods.
My neighbor.
Dylan tweeting and saying that Fred Rogers, his full name?
Yes.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Think that's probably a pun. Like, he thinks he's...
I'm on his Wikipedia page right now.
McFeely?
Fred McFeely Rogers.
No, you know how anybody can update somebody's Wikipedia?
You don't think that they would be monitoring Fred Rogers?
Fred McFeely?
I thought maybe that was
Mr.
like...
Mr. Rogers McFeely?
Taking a shot that he was like...
Been some accusations and...
That's right. But there was somebody else wrote that he was like a Navy SEAL or something like...
I wouldn't mess with that guy.
Well, he looks
a
little...
The sweaters, the slacks, the hair...
I don't know.
I wouldn't mess with him.
He'd take his sweater off and choke you out with it if he's a Navy SEAL.
He's a Navy SEAL, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yours looks like it's actually like bulletproof, though. It's quite thick.
It's very
thick. How are you? Like, you must be just boiling in here.
My core temperature is boiling over.
Exactly. Like, it looks like you're wearing a carpet. Like, it's an inch thick.
I understand that. That's the look I was going for.
It is
quite
solid.
You look like Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. I feel like Hugh Hefner. And I'm going to put the tie on. Although, I don't think this is a shirt where I can get the neck.
No, but it's
I got like a 17 and a half neck.
You look good.
Thanks, bud.
Any more calls?
Actually, we got a lot of them, but we got to get to future headlines.
Yeah,
we got to get to our best bets.
We got time for one more, right?
You want to slide in
one more? Yeah, one more.
All right, Mike in Toronto. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, man, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Good.
I still like Nylander. I mean, I think he's a great player. The reality is the Leafs don't need him. We got three generational players in Marner, Tavares, and Matthews. Those are the kind of guys that make other people better. So let them do it. And, you know, this $80 million salary cap, is it going to work? You know, like, there should be a franchise tag, I think. Matthews is going to want a blank check, and someone's going to offer Sheehan $16 million, Philly or whoever is able to do that. So the Leafs are going to have to give him quite a bit of money. And the other reality is they're giving up, like, 40 shots a game. So maybe put $6 million on the blue line. You know, you got Gardner leaving, Hainsey leaving. I think there's better ways to spend the money. I think there's a better fit for Nylander. I think this whole fiasco, and I don't know if it's the media that blew it up or what, it's just kind of, it's not really good for his rec now. I know I talked to a lot of guys, and no one really feels the same way about him. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, there's no question. This guy, and I actually give him credit for it, because it takes some courage to be able to sit at home and not take whatever was offered. But his reputation, it's been affected right now, but again, if he signs between now and tomorrow and he comes back and they go on a run and he factors in and he plays 3, 4, 5, 6 more years here, you know,
it's gone.
We're going to forget about it. Yeah, we're going to forget about it. Like, it's
people are in the now right now and they're frustrated. If he signs tomorrow, a month from now, people will move on from it.
Of course.
Because they'll be excited to have the player back in.
But he will have a target on his back when he comes back originally.
Obviously, because if he's not playing up to, you wanted $7 million,
absolutely,
you better play like $7
million. Which is fair. That's a fair reaction, I think.
Because if you put yourself out there and you demand something, you have to live up to it. There'll be a point in time, I know John Tavares is earning his check right now, but there's going to be a point in time where somebody's going to be like, paying $11 million for this.
Absolutely,
you've got to get
going. That's going to happen. No, for sure. For sure. Future headlines brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. Future headlines is simple. William Nylander signs, traded, sits at home for the rest of the year.
Signs.
We're all on signs?
Yeah, signs.
It's got to be that.
We're all being very optimistic. I mean,
but in saying that, he's going to have to flip the switch as far as his approach. Because his dad's heavily involved. I don't know. I can't see a young guy like that sitting out a whole hockey season.
Bridge, long term.
Who cares? Sign something.
1 year deal. I don't think a 1 year deal is completely out of the. I mean, maybe they're just like, let's get you in, and then we'll figure it out again next summer. Yeah. That's not ideal, but neither is sitting out for the whole year.
3 year bridge.
Whatever it is, a piece of paper.
I'm on a 3 year bridge.
Put your name on a piece of paper. We get to our best bets. Brought to you by ProLine. I'm putting the tie on. Fred McFeely Rogers, RIP. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board this weekend, I'm on Baltimore to head into Atlanta and win and definitely cover the number. I think Arizona covers the 15 at Green Bay. Green Bay's a mess. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he likes Mike McCarthy. They're not very good. They're just not very good. Arizona's terrible, but that's a lot of points for a team that's in disarray right now. And I think the Chargers, they might win in Pittsburgh Sunday night, but I think they cover the 3.5. They're a really good team. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
We didn't even talk about the Cowboys last night.
That was an impressive win last night.
There was a lot of things going on, so I didn't,
13-10 against the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees, we talked about it yesterday with Jabari Greer. Brees may have opened the door for Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff and a couple of other players in this league to kind of snoop around the MVP. Because Brees, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award. He's been outstanding. It's one game. But he didn't perform that well last night.
No.
They put up 10 total points. Dallas, that's a big win. I mean, that may have secured the division for them because they've got a pretty light schedule going forward.
Pierre LeBrun was quite happy.
As he should be. Tweeted, I think they're going to win the division.
God, he loves the Cowboys. Like,
well, they are the biggest.
They're the biggest draw, man. Like, the numbers they put up, it was the highest-rated Thursday night game, I think, ever.
Wow.
That's, and it was a low-scoring, you know, defensive type of game, but it's the Cowboys.
Yep. They moved the needle. Jerry Jones.
We live in a market here, the Toronto Maple Leafs, 5 years.
It's the exact same thing.
Prime time, Saturday night. They're going to be on the dial because they're the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's all about brand recognition,
yes.
Right? There's more people that are drawn towards the Maple Leafs and the Cowboys and the Yankees. That's the way it goes.
Yep, I agree.
All right, boys, we're out of here. Don't forget, starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow, full-blown William Nylander coverage on TSN Radio all the way through the evening up until the Maple Leaf game tomorrow night, puck drop at 7 in Minnesota. Nonstop Bill Nylander coverage tomorrow.
Willie and I.
And we get back at it on Monday.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Overdrive was brought to you by 99 Stories of the Game by Wayne Gretzky and Kirsty McClellan Day. Sports Illustrated calls it the best hockey book ever written. Take home Wayne Gretzky's 99 Stories of the Game, now in paperback.